First Philo Torah Zoom Shiur post Pesach 5784. This week is Parshat Acharei, also used to be known as Acharei Mot. I think people shied away from the Mot part, even though it's an important part of the beginning. So let's share screen, say our Tehillim. Tehillim Kaf. Lamanatzeach, Mizmor LeDavid, Yancha Adonai Biyom Tzara, Yisagev Hashem Elohei Yaakov, Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh Umitzion, Yisadecha, Yizkar Kol Minchotecha, V'yolatecha, Yidashna Sela, Yitain Lecha Chilavavecha, V'chol Atzatecha, Yimalei, Nirana Bishua Techo Vishem Eloheinu Nidgol Yimale Adonai Kol Mishalo Techo Atoyadati Kihoshi Adonai Mishicho Yaanehu Mishme Kodsho Bigvurot Yesha Yimino Elevarechev Vielevasusim Vanachnu Vishem Adonai Eloheinu Nazkir Hema Karu Vinafalu Vanachnu Kamnu Vanitodad Adonai Hoshiya HaMelech Yaneinu V'yom Koreinu Kuf Kaf Aleph 121 Shir Lama Alos Esainai El Heharim Me'ayin Yavo Ezri Ezri Me'im Adonai Osei Shamayim Va'aretz Al Yitein Lamot Raglecha Al Yanum Shomerecha Hine Lo Yanum V'lo Yishan Shomer Yisrael Adonai Shomerecha Adonai tzilecha al yad yaminecha, yomam ha-shemesh lo yakecha v'yareach ba-layla. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra, yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeitecha uvoecha me'ato v'yad olam. Kuf Lamed 130. Shir ha-ma'alot mimam akim kraticha Adonai. Adonai Shima the Koli Tihiana as Necha Kashuvot Lakol Tachanunai Imavonot Tishmaria Adonai Miyamod Kiyamacha Hasalicha Laman Tivore Kiviti Adonai Kibata Nafshi Velidvaro Hochalti Nafshi Ladonai Mishomerim Laboker Shomerim Laboker Yachel Yisrael El Adonai Kim Adonai HaChesed V'Ardeimo Fedut V'Hu Yifteh Et Yisrael Mikol Avonotav. Mark.
Yishabirach Avosinu Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov Hu Yivarech Eschayalei Tzva Haganah LeYisrael V'Sanshei Kochos HaBitachon HaOmedim Al Mishmar Artzinu V'Arei Eloheinu V'Haloch חמים בעדינו, מן הלבנון ועד בדבר מצרים, ומן הים הגדול עד לבוא חרבה, ובכל מקום שהם, ביבשה, באוויר ובים. ייתן אדוני אס אויבינו, הקמים עלינו, ניגפים לפניהם. הקדוש ברוך הוא ישבור ויציל אס חיילינו מכל צרה וצוקה, ומכל נגע ומחלה, וישלח ברכה והצלחה בכל מעשה ידיהם. ידבר שונאינו תחתיהם, ויעטרם בחסר ישועה ובעטרת ניצחון. ויקוים בהם הכסול, כי אדוני אלוהיכם, ההולך עמכם להילחם לכם עם אויביכם ולהושיע אתכם, ונאמר אמן.
אמן.
תפילה להשבת החטופים והנדרים. יהי רצון מלפניך, אדוני אלוהינו ולאבותינו, שתחזק ותשמור ותנצור את אחינו בית ישראל השבויים והשבויות, בעבור שאנו מתפללים בעבורם, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yimalei Rachamim Aleihem Yishmereim Mikol Tzara V'Tzuka Mikol Nega U'Machala Yishlach Bracha B'Hatzlacha B'Chol Masa Yideihem Yotzieim Mechoshech V'Tzal Mavis V'Yishiveim Mehera Lechek Mishpechoteihem V'Nomar Amen. Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael הנתונים בצרה ובשביה העומדים בין בים ובין ביבשה ובין באוויר המקום ירחם עליהם ויוציאם מצרה לירווחה ומאפלה לאורה ומשיבוד לגאולה. השתא בעגלה ובזמן קריב ונאמר אמן. This was an interesting Pesach because of the continuing war. One of my grandsons was not home for the Seder. He managed to come back for Shabbat Chol HaMoed and wasn't there again for the last day of Yom Tov. And was a story in a lot of families. People had an empty chair for Eliyahu HaNavi, another empty chair for soldiers who weren't home, and another empty chair for Shivuyim. And really, you could have another empty chair for Pinuyim, the evacuees who were celebrating Pesach someplace else rather than their homes. So it's not easy. But I think one thing that's clear, and it has a lot of ramifications, where I mentioned this already. We look at Pesach, we don't say, how can you have Pesach when there's still a war going on? Pesach is Pesach. It's Pesach in good times and it's Pesach in bad times. You have Hoshata Hocha Lashana Haba Ba'ara di Yisrael, Hoshata Avdei Lashana Haba B'nei Chorin. There was a Dvar Torah that I haven't thought about in a while, but there are two different versions of Holach Ma'anya. One is Holach Ma'anya, and the other is Pe Holach Ma'anya, with a Chaf in the beginning. Holach Ma'anya means this is the bread of affliction. And that Jews say and have said in bad times. Because here we go again. Keholach ma'anya is the text for good times. It's like the bread of affliction, but it isn't now the bread of affliction. In any event, that's the story. I have a lot of topics I would like to touch on. And since this is already Wednesday, that's it for this week. But anyway, let me start with something that I thought I had a grasp on until my nephew sent me like a 10 or 12 page tshuva with all different kind of opinions about the Haftorah for this week and for next week. So follow me if you can. First, let's start simple. There are seven pairs of sedras that are sometimes combined and sometimes separate. The rule is when a double is combined, the haftorah is the haftorah of the second sedra. So matot maaseh, we read the maaseh haftorah. On let's not talk about that yet. Tazria Metzora, you read the Metzora one. This is the general rule. The exception is Acharei and Kedoshim. Acharei and Kedoshim, the Haftorah, when they're combined, is the one of Acharei. It is known as Halo Chivnei Chushiyim. It's the shortest Haftorah of the year, nine psukim. And officially, it's the Haftorah for Acharei. But even when they are combined, which would usually be the Haftorah of the second one, we read Halo Chivnei Chushiyim. Now, here comes the curve, or the first curve. In Shana Peshuta, not this year, in a regular 12-month, one Adar year, Acharei and Kedoshim are always combined, and the Haftorah, as I've already mentioned, is Halo Chivnei Chushiyim, which means in a Shana Pshuta, we don't read the Haftorah for Kedoshim, which is known as Hatishpot. Hatishpot, it's from Yeshayahu. Halo Chivnei Chushiyim is from the book of Amos. Now, in a Shana Me'uberet, the Sedras are separate. However, sometimes Acharei is Shabbat HaGadol. wasn't this year, but sometimes it is. When it is Shabbat HaGadol, we don't read the Haftorah of Acharei, we read the Haftorah for Shabbat HaGadol. When it comes to Kedoshim, which in those years would be the one after Pesach, we read Halo Chivnei Chushiyim, the official Haftorah of Acharei, which got preempted, but we read it for Kedoshim. Why? Because Kedoshim's Haftorah, HaTishpot, is very, very negative on Jerusalem. It is known as Toevat Yerushalayim, the abominations of Jerusalem. A very, very hard Haftorah to pay attention to. And if you pay attention to, it's a very hard Haftorah to listen to, especially, as I'll get in a moment, if you live in Yerushalayim. So that accounts for a couple of the Shana Me'uberet. Then there's a situation where Kedoshim is Rosh Chodesh, also Rosh Chodesh Iyar. When that happens, we read the special Haftorah for Rosh Chodesh for Kedoshim, and we read Halo Chivnei Chushiyim for Acharei, thereby ignoring that negative Haftorah of, I'm sorry, Kedoshim is Rosh Chodesh. So when that happens, we only need one Haftorah. We always shun HaTishpot, negative about Jerusalem. We read instead, Halo Chivnei Chushiyim. Then there are 2 years, two types of years, when Kedoshim for us is Mochor Chodesh, Erev Rosh Chodesh, and in Chutz La'aretz, it's Acharei that's Mochor Chodesh. Those are the years where we get out of sync in Parshat HaShavua because Pesach runs from Shabbat to Friday for us in Israel. And in Chutz La'aretz, a second Shabbat Pesach, Acharon Shel Pesach. And therefore, we start Parshat HaShavua a week early, or you could say that Chutz La'aretz starts it a week late. But one of the Shabbatot in those years is Mochor Chodesh, preempting the regular Haftorah, leaving one Haftorah that we need, Halo Chivnei Chushiyim. Anytime there's an excuse not to read HaTishpot, Toevat Yerushalayim, we don't. And that leads us to this year. This year is one of the 14 types of years, the one that's a Me'uberet that began on Shabbat and is missing a day from Kislev. That's called Mem Zayin Chet, Me'uberet, Zayin for Shabbat and Chet for Chaser. That's the only year type where neither Acharei nor Kedoshim is a special Shabbos, which means you could read both Haftorahs. The common practice is to read Halo Chivnei Chushiyim for Acharei and to read that one time, which is a rare occurrence. How rare, you ask? I'll tell you if I could find my chart. I can't at the moment, so I'm not going to wait. It's on the table here someplace. In any event, it's a rare Haftorah that for Kedoshim, that HaTishpot is read, except in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is extra sensitive to the negative Haftorah from Yeshayahu for Parshat Kedoshim. And this is not universal in Yerushalayim, but prevalent custom is to read Halo Chivnei Chushiyim both weeks in a row. This Shabbat for Acharei, and next Shabbat again to say, we don't want to read that Haftorah. It's a put down to Yerushalayim. We'd rather double and read Halo Chivnei Chushiyim again. There are many, many authorities that go back hundreds and hundreds of years who said, no, you can't do that because you don't read the same Haftorah 2 weeks in a row. And in Yerushalayim, we say, ah, yes, we do, but only in Yerushalayim. When Purim falls out on Shabbat, we have what's called Purim Mishulash. Some things are Megillah is on Thursday night, Friday. Matanot is, Evyonim is Friday. Laning, Torah reading, is Maftir on Shabbat. And the Haftorah, Alanisim also, and the Haftorah for Shabbat Purim is exactly the same as the previous week, Parshat Zohar. So we have a precedent already of reading the same Haftorah 2 weeks in a row, and it's common to do that these next 2 weeks as well. And there are a couple of other combinations of customs, but I gave you more than is easy to understand if you don't know it already or you haven't heard it before. That's the beauty of review, because you get a chance to hear it. Well, I didn't really understand it the first time, but, and in a shul situation, you usually say, I don't know what to read, I'll wait till they make an announcement. So that's what will happen here in Yerushalayim. They'll announce Haftorah of Acharei this Shabbat, Halocha Bnei Chushim, and next Shabbat they'll announce, don't look at the Haftorah for Kedoshim, we're going to read the Haftorah again from Acharei. End of topic, comments, or questions. Mark, did you learn anything new there? Or this was just...
Yes, I did not know that Yerushalayim, I didn't know that Yerushalayim skipped that Haftorah, and I did not know that they would do the Haftorah twice, 2 weeks in a row, so yes.
Right, that is makes Hatishpot for Yerushalayim the rarest Haftorah of all of them.
It's Minhag Yerushalayim. It's Minhag...
Say again, A.
Oh, I was on mute.
A.
It's Minhag Yerushalayim and the Young Israel of Avenue K.
Very interesting. And probably in Petach Tikva, a lot of shuls also. Because Petach Tikva, the original Ashkenazi, not the original, but the Ashkenazi community began when Petach Tikva started by Talmidim of the Gra who came from Yerushalayim. First, they came from Vilna to Yerushalayim in 1802. They established what we call today Minhag Yerushalayim based on the Gra. And one of them was how you read the Haftorah. But it's amazing that I had a 10 to 12 page tshuva, because there were so many different variations. You postpone reading the negative. First of all, some chumashim have it reversed anyway. They have hatishpot for acharei and halocha v'nei chushiyim for kedoshim, whatever. Just do whatever your shul does. Actually, there was, where did I see this? There was a case brought down, I don't remember where it was, of a guy that was called in a major shul here in Yerushalayim, was called to Maftir, and he made the brachot and started reading Hatishpot. And another Rav who was sitting there, a posek, went up to him and said, wrong Haftorah, you have to read Haloch Ibnei Chushiyim. So he started to read Haloch Ibnei Chushiyim. He says, no, you have to make brachot again, because if you make brachot intending to read one Haftorah and you made a mistake and you have to read another one, you have to make a new bracha. And then another guy wrote about that, saying that should never have been done because it was causing a bracha she'ina tzricha, because you could have left that Haftorah because the rest of the world leans it also. It's fun if you like those kind of things. Okay. I wanted to just review a little bit about Morid Hatal and the Tain Bracha, which we started on the first day of Pesach, or Motzoi, the first day of Pesach for the Tain Bracha. And this is a halachic detail, but more than that is the idea that stands behind it. If a person now, from Pesach all the way till next Shmini Atzeret, if a person says Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem in the Amidah, it's defective. And if he catches his mistake immediately, Ataki Bar Leolam Hashem Mechayim Eitim HaTorah V'Oshir Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem Morid HaTal, and he changes it, then the change is good. If it's toch kidei dibur, within 2-3 seconds. If a chutz laretz person, nusach Ashkenaz, has the minhag of not saying morid hatal during the summertime, then the only way to correct that error, even if you catch it immediately, is to go back to ata gibor and make sure you don't say it the second time around. If a person already said mechaye hametim and realizes that he said Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem, he has to take his steps back, take steps forward, and start the Amidah over again. And that goes all the way through. When it comes to the Tain Bracha, if a person says the Tain Tal Umatar Livracha and catches it immediately, he can say the Tain Tal Umatar Livracha. Not even clearing his throat. V'tein talamata levracha, v'tein bracha. That catches it. If it's anything after 2-3 seconds and you're still within that bracha, you go back to Borech Aleinu and start again from there. And that's the rule with the rest of the Amidah. Wherever you are, you realize that you said v'tein talamata levracha wrongly, you go back to Borech Aleinu. Once you take your steps back, then you have no choice but to repeat the entire Amidah. I also want to say one more thing about the Morid Hatal. If you start by saying Mashiv HaRuach and you realize your mistake, you can continue with Morid Hatal, Mashiv HaRuach Morid Hatal, because that's the Vilna Gaon Shita. So Michael from the Young Israel of Avenue K should know that also, because they probably, if they're consistent with the Minhagim of the Gra, during the summertime, say Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaTal. So that would not be a mistake. It's the Geshem word or the Matar word, which is the invalidating feature. The question of, I'm not sure whether I said it or not, we go by habit. But habit also goes by when you begin to question whether you actually said it right or wrong. If that hesitation comes right away, you take your steps back and say, wait a minute, did I say it right? Until 3 months, you have to go back and say the whole thing over again because of suffix. If later you continue davening, you're already towards Aleinu or whatever, and you say, wait a minute, did I say it? You could ignore that kind of hesitation, because a real doubt enters immediately, or you don't have to pay attention to it. That's basically it on the halachic detail. What I wanted to say on a hashkafa level is Chazal made a choice. They are the ones that composed the tefillah. They are the ones who said not to say Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem from tefillah tal. They are the ones who said when to say it. And they had the discretion of making the rule of what you do if you didn't do it correctly. Different example. They're the ones who said, say Al HaNisim on Chanukah and Purim. They're the ones who also said, If you forgot to say Al Hanisim on Hanukkah or Purim, don't repeat. You did it. It's okay. The Amidah stands. When it came to Mashiv HaRuach Merda Geshem, they said, fatal flaw in the Amidah, you have to repeat. But I want to emphasize that it was their choice, because they made the tefillah and they made the rules that applied to the tefillah. So then we have to be sensitive as to why. Why would they let Al Hanisim go without invalidating the Amidah? And why are they makpid on Mashiv HaRuach Morid HaGeshem and V'tein Talumatar Livracha? Now, one of the answers is related to the concept that prayer is real, that prayer is a petition to God. We are asking him things for, of him for things, and we're not playing a game. It's real. So when a person says, now, Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem, that makes the opposite of invoking a bracha, B'tein tal umatar livracha, wrong. If you say B'tein tal umatar, it's not livracha in the summertime, because it could damage crops, it could breed mosquitoes and disease, and therefore it's the opposite of a bracha. I don't even want to use that word, which is the opposite of a bracha. And they say, we want you to take tefillah seriously, and you have to repeat the whole thing. This doesn't answer every question about why Aneinu on a fast day, you don't have to repeat. Yalla v'yavo on Chol HaMoed, you do have to repeat if you leave it out, and so on. But each one was a thought-out process, decision made by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, or whatever body instituted these additions to the tefillah, or the changes in HaMelech HaKadosh and HaMelech HaMishpat. The rules could go one way or the other way, but it's not arbitrary, and it's not a choice. You have to follow the halacha. You could feel bad when you left out Al HaNisim on Purim, and you say, oh, I'd rather repeat the Amidah because I want to include Al HaNisim. You can't. And you can't say, I said Talu Matar, but how many other Jews are davening and saying it correctly? What's my damage for that? The answer is we don't know, and rain, when we're supposed to get rain, everybody has to ask for it properly. And when we don't want it to rain, you don't ask for it. And by the way, if you live in a city or an area of a country where it rains all year round, you become dependent on the guidelines, either for Eretz Yisrael or sometimes for Chutz La'aretz, where they do have seasonal rain and not. You can't say, I live in New York, or I live in London, where it rains throughout the year. And so what difference does it make if I ask for rain or I don't ask for rain? It's going to rain. The answer is there are rules that have to be followed. But the point that I wanted to make clear is that we believe that davening is real, asking things of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we need to take davening seriously. And add to that how many Jews in this world do not say Morid HaTal, do not daven, do not say the Amidah. And if we're looking for the ramification of so many of our brothers and sisters who don't daven, then it increases the burden, so to speak, on each and every one of us who do daven to daven properly. Next. Without asking who's still counting the Omer with a bracha, we'll want to say a few things about Sfirat HaOmer. Case. Person comes to tonight, and the calendar says count 9 days to the Omer, and 1 week and 2 days, and he seriously questions whether he remembered to count last night or not. So I think most of you know that if a person definitely skipped a full day, night, and the daytime, and did not count eight at all, then he counts nine tonight, but without a bracha. If you're not sure whether you counted or not, then you could continue with a bracha. If you think about that for a moment, that seems odd, because if there is a rule, I say if there is a rule that you don't continue with a bracha unless you have full continuous counting, then if you're not sure whether you have full continuous counting, the rule would be you don't make a bracha, because safek bracha lahakel. But that's not the halacha. The halacha is a person who comes to count tonight, who is not sure whether he counted eight last night or any time today, is allowed to continue with a bracha. That seems to go against the rule of safek bracha lahakel. When in doubt as to whether a bracha is required, you opt for not making that bracha. So how come we do? And the answer is, it's a little, I think, sophisticated. The original machloket. Do you need all 49 nights in a row to fulfill the mitzvah of Sfirat HaOmer? And if that is not complete, in other words, you forgot an entire day, then there is no mitzvah anymore. Or the other opinion, each day stands on its own. If each day stands on its own, a person who didn't count the Omer for the first 48 nights of the Omer, on the 49th night, makes a bracha, asher kedishanu v'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al sfirat haomer, and counts 49 and 7 weeks. Those are the two opinions. You need tmimut, completeness, in order to have the mitzvah. Other opinion, each day stands on its own. Is it one big 49-part mitzvah? Or is it 49 little mitzvah? That machloket, that debate, that disagreement, whatever you want to call it, is not resolved. It's not like you say, A says you need all 49 parts, otherwise you have no mitzvah. B says each day stands on its own. The halacha is like A. No. The halacha is like B. No. The halacha is not decided between those two opinions. Therefore, what am I supposed to do tonight when I forgot completely the eighth night and day? I have to not count. I have to count because of opinion B, which says each day is required by itself. But I can't make a bracha because of safek bracha lahakel. But if I'm not sure whether I counted eight, Then the suffix goes like this. Maybe I counted, or maybe I didn't. If I did, I say a bracha tonight. But even if I didn't, there's an opinion which is still on the books, which has not been rejected, that I would count tonight with a bracha also. And therefore, we're not dealing with a 50-50 suffix. We're dealing with a 75% to 25% doubt. And that does not get suffix bracha lahakel. And therefore, I'm allowed to count with a bracha tonight and thereon. Only if I'm sure I missed a day. Now, here's another thing. A person who counted seven the night before last and forgets eight, for sure, not in question, he for sure didn't do it. Then nine, he counts without a bracha, and 10 without a bracha, and 11 without a bracha, and 12 without a bracha, and 13 without a bracha. When he gets to 14, he can make a bracha. Asher kidyishanu v'mesotav tzivanu al sfirat ha'omer, hayom arba asor yom sheheim shnei shavuot la'omer. Because there's a mitzvah in the Torah to count the weeks, in addition to a mitzvah to count the days of the Omer. So even though his counting every day is messed up, and that does not allow him to make a bracha, from that point onward, when it comes to counting the weeks, since he counted seven, he can continue with a bracha only on the 14, 21, 28, 35, 42, and 49. If he missed seven, then that's it. No bracha the rest of the time, because he missed the week and he missed the 7 days. Comments or questions? Clarification? Anybody?
What happens if he missed 14 or 21 or 28?
If he missed 14 or 21, he can't count with a bracha on 28 or 35. That's only...
But if he missed the days, he can do the weeks then, if he remembers.
Say again?
Each one. If he misses the days, he can do 7, 14, 21, 28, 35, and 42, 49.
With a bracha. He has to count every day even without a bracha. That's what a lot of people don't understand, where they say, well, I missed a night, so I don't have to count. Because there's an opinion, which is not negated, that you have to count each day of the Omer independent of the other days. So, and the same thing goes for weeks. So that's that extra thing that gets thrown in. That confuse you, or you got what I'm saying, Judy?
I remember you saying from last year or the year before, actually, about the weeks, and I was going to ask you for clarification, but you've said it. But so you can count the weeks if you remember to count the weeks at 7, 14, 21. But if you've forgotten to count days, whether or not you're saying with a bracha, you can still do it with weeks with a bracha.
Yes, but you still count each day, but without a bracha.
But I'm saying if you just forget to say the day, that doesn't...
No. The text that we use acknowledges the day and the week. And therefore, you won't say Hayom Shnei Shavuot La'Omer. You would say Hayom Arbasar Yom Shehem Shnei Shavuot. Because we conform to the standard text of counting.
Thank you.
Apparently, once upon a time, it was two different brachot. Asher kedishanu b'mezotav tzivanu al sfirat yemei ha'omer. And another bracha, asher kedishanu b'mezotav tzivanu al sfirat shivuei ha'omer. But we don't do that. We combine them. And Sfardim, by the way, do something interesting. Last night they said Hayom Shmona Yamim La Omer, Shehem Shavu Echad V'Yom Echad. we include it in the word La'omer. Here's another thing that I want to throw out for you. Famous thing, you know, how many do we count tonight? Last night we counted 8. I can say right now at 4:15 in the afternoon, which is not yet Plag Mincha, I can say tonight we will count 9 in the Omer. I can recite it. Tonight we will say Hayom Tisha Yamim Shehem Shavua Echad Ushnei Yamim La'Omer. That doesn't mess up anything. If in the evening, when it's already sort of eligible for counting, and I say the count, because someone asked me, what do we say tonight, whatever, that messes me up for a bracha later tonight when I'm counting for myself, but it doesn't mess up future nights that could continue with a bracha. However, the key words are hayom and the number. If somebody says, what do we count tonight? And you say 9, that does not mess up your counting, because 9 is just a nomer. It's just a number. If you say tonight is 9, that messes it up, because that's the English equivalent of saying hayom, even though tonight means halayla. So the key is not the word Omer. The key is the word Hayom and the number. Jolie.
So you asked before if there was anything new we learned. This is something I've been counting for many, many years, and I'd never heard that if you mess up on the days, you can still count the weeks. So I'm not planning to mess up, but it's new to me, and I'm glad to learn it. So thank you for that.
Okay. Just lost somebody, I think. Next topic. This week's Sedra Acharei Mot, Acharei, has 28 mitzvot. When you think of the biggies, like Ki Teitse with 74, Emor with 63, Re'eh with 55, Mishpatim with 53, Kedoshim next week with 51, Shofatim with 41. Those are the top 6. It doesn't sound like a big number, 28, but it's only number 7 on the list of Sedras. In fact, I made a calculation before that the top 9 Sedras, that's 9 out of 54. That's 1/6 of all the Sedras, including the ones I just said, and Parshat Bo. In other words, in their order, Ki Teitse, Emor, Re'eh, Mishpatim, Kedoshim, Shoftim, Acharei, and Bo. I missed one. Those are 8. Bahar. Bahar has 24 and Bo has 20. Those 9 Sedras account for 2/3 of all the mitzvah of the Torah. 1/6 of the Sedras of the Torah contain 2/3 of all the mitzvot. That just gives you a picture in numbers. Specifically, the 28 mitzvot in Parshat Acharei, 24 of them are part of the last section, which are the arayot, the forbidden relationships, who a person is not allowed to have intimate relations with. And that makes up 24 prohibitions. You could see it in the end of Acharei, which is also the laning of the mincha of Yom Kippur. The first part of Acharei is the laning of the morning of Yom Kippur, about the temple service by the Kohen Gadol on that morning. And that piece only has 2 mitzvot. One is that a Kohen cannot enter the Beit HaMikdash and not Kodshei Kodashim except bitafkid, when he is on duty in order to do that. He does not have free rein to walk in to the Beit HaMikdash anytime he wants. And the other is one big super mitzvah called Seder Avodat Yom HaKippurim. It's a style of counting of the mitzvot, which is common, that when there is a mitzvah, which has a lot of details in it, we don't count the details separately. It's all part of one mitzvah to do Seder Avoda of the Beit HaMikdash. When we have a Beit HaMikdash, that mitzvah is fulfilled. Actually, when we don't have a Beit HaMikdash, we fulfill the spirit of that mitzvah by our tefillah on Yom Kippur and our fasting and our tshuva, which is all interrelated. Two mitzvot are left, one of which is called Shechitat Chutz. The status at the beginning of Bnei Yisrael, which came on and off for a number of hundreds of years, was korbanot were restricted to the Mishkan, but sometimes korbanot were allowed in personal mizbeach. It's hard for us to picture that. I mean, it's hard enough to imagine the Beit HaMikdash, but to imagine a period of time where you can go to your backyard, build a mizbeach from stone, and offer korbanot on it, something that we're not allowed to do now or ever since the Beit HaMikdash came to Yerushalayim. But before it got to Yerushalayim, there were periods of time where bamot, meaning private mizbachot, were allowed and encouraged. Shechitat chutz means slaughtering an animal for a korban outside the Beit HaMikdash courtyard, where it was supposed to be slaughtered. And the partner mitzvah of that, which is not counted in Acharei, is slaughtering an animal for food within the Beit HaMikdash area. That invalidates the animal, you're not allowed to eat it, and both are considered not only wasteful, but if you slaughter an animal for a korban, that's understandable and acceptable and proper. If you slaughter an animal for food and you eat from that animal, then that's proper. But if you slaughter an animal and it goes to waste, then intentional or unintentional, what you've done is not just bal tashchit, waste, but you have, according to the way the Torah puts it, shed blood. Bloodshed is not just killing another person. It means killing an animal for no reason or for what results in not being able to benefit from that animal. And that's an interesting hashkafa idea, that we don't lizalzeil. We don't lizalzeil. Anybody got a good English word for lizalzeil? We don't cheapen, I don't know if that's the best word, the life of an animal. We believe it is a nefesh chaya, a living, some kind of soul essence, and it's to be treated properly. So the only reason we're allowed to bring korbanot is because we're allowed to bring korbanot. And the only reason we're allowed to eat meat is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave permission for us to kill an animal by a special way called Shechita. And the rest of the world, he said, you could eat an animal as long as you kill it anyway. But it can't be outside the guidelines of law, of halacha. So that's Shechitat Chutz. The other mitzvah, which comes from the middle perek in Acharei, the one that we don't read on Yom Kippur, is Kisui Dam, covering of blood. It goes like this. A cow, goat, or a sheep, which is known, who are known, which are known as behema tohora, kosher, domesticated animals. Cow, goat, and sheep are ra'ui lamizbeach. They are fit for the altar. The fact that we don't bring them today as korbanot doesn't change their status of being ra'ui lamizbeach. Those three categories of mammal, behema tohora, their blood of shechita, the first spurt of blood after slaughter, does not have to be covered, because by definition, even though we don't have korbanot today, by definition, the blood of those animals is mechaper, carries with it an atonement feature. And we're not required to cover that blood because of that. Chaya tohora, a kosher wild animal, like deer, antelope, mountain goat, ibex, kudu, and a whole bunch of others, are kosher, but the blood of their slaughter, meaning the first spurt of blood, has to be covered with sawdust or sand and not left uncovered, giving us an awareness that we're not dealing stam with inanimate objects. We're dealing with living and breathing beings. And the dam is considered the dam hanefesh, and it requires being covered with a bracha. A shochet makes asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al hashchita, when he slaughters the animal, the non-domesticated animals, or a bird, meaning a chicken even, because a chicken is not roi lamizbeach, and even the two types of doves that are roi lamizbeach go along with the majority of birds, which are not fit for the altar. Their blood has to be covered. And the bracha is asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav tzivanu al kisui dam be'afar. If you don't do that, it's an avera. And if you can't do it for a reason, then you're not allowed to do the shechita, if it's before the fact. So that's in this week's sedra also. Another thing from this sedra, very significant in Jewish law, is the reference to the term v'chai bohem, that mitzvot are to live by, from which we are taught, and not to die by, which is the not only permission but requirement of doing on Shabbat what needs to be done to save a person's life. A person is not allowed to say, I will not violate Shabbat even if I die. That's a Chilul Hashem. Now, there are exceptions. The exceptions are the big three, what's called that, which is Shfichat Damim, murder, and idolatry, and adultery and incest. Those are Yehoreg V'al Ya'avor. All the other mitzvot in normal circumstances are Ya'avor. You violate rather than die by them. In time of forced conversion, the rules change. There are many more things that are considered Yehoreg V'al Ya'avor, but we don't have to go into the detail. But the concept is that Judaism is a way of life, primarily. And that's another thing we get from the Chai Bohem. And that's why we refer to Jewish law as halakha. Halakha is walking. As you walk through life, all of the halakha is binding upon us, not just in Beit Knesset, not just in synagogue, not just in shul, not just on holidays, not just on Shabbat, but from morning until night, we have a body of law and custom, v'chai bohem, that we live by and because of. So that's another concept from the Parsha, which does not count as one of Tariag Mitzvot, but it's no less a significant concept in Jewish law and Jewish life. On that note, I will wish you a Shabbat Shalom, the rest of the week good and beyond, and listen to the Haftorah, whatever your shul decides to read, and hope that it's the 9 pasuk short one, and not like 7.
No, I have to answer the door when you said that. Can you just give me very quickly the 2 possibilities of Haftorah this week, did you say?
This week, I think everybody will say Haloch Ibnei Chushim. It's next week that there are 2 possibilities.
Because?
Take a look at the website and the Parsha, and there's a long explanation I wrote before the Haftorah. Okay. Which is confusing enough to hear it, but maybe less confusing if you could read it and review it. I hope you don't mind my brushing it off because of that.
Is there double partial or something? Did you say next week? Did
no.
you hear something about double
partial? No, other no. Year? This year we separate them, but in Yerushalayim, okay. The custom is to read the same Haftorah twice in a row.
Not uh-huh. Yeah, I heard you say
partial is separate.
They mumble it in our shul anyway. They don't say it out loud. The men say it amongst themselves. So anyway, thank you very much. Shabbat shalom. Have a good rest of the week and whatever else is going on. Shalom al Yisrael, please God. Amen.